Today, we're talking about what turns her on, how to get you laid, and how to put effort where it counts. Most importantly, we're going to discuss how to open her up so you can be fully accepted. And we mean that literally, but also metaphorically.
We mean it in some way or another.
Some way or another,
because Jeff. Because really what this is about is you have to have game to get in the, and game, I mean that in a good way, you have to have game to get into the position.
Sure.
Yes, position, okay. To where you could be
opening. This is going to be one of those episodes, definitely.
Right. We'll go ahead and cut now, and we'll see you in the next episode, which is more intellectual. No, but this is good. This is good.
Sure.
So let's start out by, let me ask you this. So you're in a relationship, new relationship, been on a few dates. When, as a guy, when should I start being concerned? Because I have spoken with other women
concerned
about
in
this.
What direction?
Well, I have women that I've talked to about this. When should I start being concerned that I haven't been able to endeavor into a sexual...
A more romantically intimate...
Yeah, I mean, you've maybe had a kiss or whatever, but when do I need to start... When does my radar need to start...
When does she become like a prude outside of or not interested in you sexually?
Yeah, and I speak from experience with a former relationship I was in, and I've had a lot of conversations with females that we've talked about this, friends of mine. And this is good because let's talk about that. Okay, so we're on our first couple of dates, things you think are going well. Mm-hmm. At what point should you start being a little concerned if you have not moved into that next step? In the sexual game of baseball.
Yeah, I'm going to just put all the obvious things aside, like, you know, it depends on the people. And
of course, right.
But I would say that as you move into it, I don't think there's like a time frame, a hard time frame. Of course, is it probably in our culture, if it's a year's gone by and you guys haven't moved forward, then we're looking at some serious, you know, you need to decide if your cultures are similar enough that you want to be in that relationship.
Sure, sure.
But I would say that it's really just an investigating game of saying, hey, like, where are you at with this? And saying it in a way that doesn't come off as pushy is the tricky thing, I think.
No, that's genius. I mean, this is where your verbal judo comes in.
Yes,
where you
verbal
can kind of like, it's diplomacy, verbal judo, however you want to say it. And this is back to, you have to have this good ability to communicate and be smooth, not like cheesy smooth, but you have to be smooth in your deployment.
I think it's always, anytime you can start with vulnerability at the surface, you're going to be received way well compared to any other way you can do it. And, you know, at the top of the show, I talked about opening her up fully so that she will accept you fully. And that's a big place where this is going to happen, is saying something off the top like, hey, I'm a little, you know, nervous to say this. So that's a vulnerable word, nervous. And you're saying something about you where you're not in a place that you want to be. Yeah. And, but I want to know, you know, if you have interest here, do you think this is going to turn into a relationship that will progress into something more intimate? I don't want any pressure on you, and I'm not trying to give you any pressure. I just want to know where we're at so that I'm not misguided or, you know, having any misconceptions.
Yeah, and that's a great way. That's the message that you want to invest. That's what you want to fall into, that messaging. And, you know, in the day and age we live in, which I'm glad I'm not in this, you know, in this world of dating, and so I'm very sympathetic. But let me ask you this technique that I thought about. What as a guy in the world we're living in, and you're a little more mature, a little older, and you say something to this intelligent woman that you've been on a few dates or multiple dates, however long it is, and you say something to her, and I'm asking. What if I say something like, "Listen, I'm empathetic. I'm very aware of the world we live in. I'm having a wonderful time with you. I love hanging out with you. You know, we're having all this fun, whatever. And, you know, I'm just, so you know, I'm probably not going to be the classic guy to put the moves on you. I am here. I want to have the conversation, but just so you know, I'm not going to be real aggressive in this pursuit of, I'm just going off the top of my head, but this pursuit of sexual relations, because I just don't really, I'm not good at navigating that, or I don't really, I'm fine in the
department.
You're
asking how that's going to like rub her?
Yeah, well, how would that play? I mean, it's in a way, it's a little more of a offensive way.
I don't like that.
No, you don't. Okay, that's what I'm saying. And so your tactic.
I want someone who has the assertiveness
okay,
on their side. Right. Not aggressive where they're like overt macho jerk style, right? I want someone who has the conscious assertiveness where they're taking into consideration my feelings, so they're empathetic, they're sensitive to whatever my desires are as well. And it's not just about their selfish want in the moment. And who also has the backbone to approach it with assertiveness, mm-hmm. right? Like to come at it and say like, hey, this is something I'd be interested in with you. Like if it's, you know, moving our relationship forward in some sort of intimate way. And I want to know where you're at with that. That's assertiveness without being pushy.
Well, it's very honest and very pure.
Here's a really critical thing to just backtrack, but let's hold our spot there and come back to this because I think it's important. But a really important groundwork, I think, for men and women to have is where men really intercept that feeling of love is largely through the genitals. So the male penis is a way that men most definitely receive the feeling of love, and they feel that exchange from a woman when they're interacted with genitally.
Okay.
Women, on the other hand, feel that exchange of love whenever they're interacted with up here in this region in the heart area. It's about a heart opening for them. So if you can just think of it in that context where we're having very different languages happening here, right? One of us needs to have our heart opened in order to start receiving love, and one of us needs to have our genitals stimulated in order to receive love. How do we communicate in that situation? And that's kind of the foundation that I think we have to start with in order to have a mutually opening.
So if there's two keys in the key closet,
yeah,
and you're trying to engage with this woman, and there's the heart key, and then there's right. the genital key. You want to grab the heart key, and that's going to be the key that's probably going to unlock.
Sure. Yeah. And men they already believe, you know, in their bodies because it is true for them that they have this love they experience genitally. So they think that women are going to be exactly the same way. That's what we do. We have this subjective experience. This is how it feels for us. So it must be the same for them. Mm-hmm. And knowing that we are very different, but complementary, men and women. So when we step into, any kind of relationship, dating experience, if it's a new person or whatever it is, doesn't matter, new or old, this is the same foundation that should be really considered. Put aside the idea that a woman is going to have the same ways of being excited, feeling loved, and being stimulated in an intimate direction, a romantically or sexually intimate direction, the way that you will if you're a man, right? What is the way to get to her is, and what is the language she's, you know, speaking? And if we're talking about, you know, we're talking about opening her heart essentially. So how do you do that instead of, how do I open her legs? How do I open her legs? Because if I just get between her legs, then she'll feel love from me. Mm-hmm. But that's absolutely not true. A matter of fact, if you get too pushy, she'll feel less love from you because you did not nurture the heart center. You didn't nurture this place in her that she needs to feel open to so that she can then contribute to this loving experience in the way you want.
So the conversation, back to this honest conversation that yeah. we felt would be a good tactic for this guy. At what point, and there's no magic time. We know when it's been too long, like mm-hmm. a year, unless it's some cultural thing, and maybe the first date's too soon, obviously. But is there a period of time, assuming that the dates are going well, is there a period, and you're not just friends, is there a period of time where you're now in that kind of gray area of opportunity where that conversation might need to occur?
Hmm.
Like first date's too soon, obviously, the year is too long. Where is there like, I mean, you should know when you see it, you should know when the feeling is, if you're good at detecting this, you might be able to, there might be a nice timing for it. Or if it's been going on a couple months and you're like, you know, I really don't know, because you really don't know. Maybe just have the conversation of where this is going. Like, where do you see, you know, Mercedes, where do you see this relationship going?
Yeah. And, I think that's the bigger conversation, is to decide what is really your motive here. You know, mm-hmm. are you looking to connect with this person? You know, and if obviously I would assume that if we're...
If you stuck it out for a few months, you probably, it's beyond just
right.
physical. Right.
And to take into consideration that when women don't put out right away, I'm going to just go out and say it, they have a much higher likelihood of attracting a mate that stays and that
it's
stays
It's very interesting that, and we know that fundamentally, right. but it's interesting that occurs like that, because if you're the woman that, you know, maybe puts out on the second or first encounter.
And this is, by the way, not about slut shaming, not about not that being able to experience pleasure through sex is in any way a negative.
Yeah, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about relationship stuff that you're going for.
Creating an intimate connection where you know, not just physically intimate, I mean an intimate connection that may end up being physical.
I'm laughing because this someone said to me, I got to know how this chemistry is going to go.
Yeah.
And I'm like, all right. I'm like, I'm game for that. When?
In other words, they wanted to figure out if sex was going to be good enough that they want to stay together.
It was so mind, because I'm like, like me, everybody knows me, I'm like, I just love, I see butterflies and flowers floating around and kitty cats. And that is me. I love cats. But she was like, no, she sent me a couple of hints. It was really funny. I would love to have her on.
These do not sound like hints. These sound like
Oh, no. Let me tell you about the first hint.
Instruction.
Okay. Let me just tell you about the first hint. Yeah. I was, we were driving in a car and we got to this restaurant. Okay. And do you know this story? I'm sure you do.
Probably.
Okay. We go to this restaurant and it was this like normal.
Driving in a restaurant in a car it's not enough to give me information if I know the story, just so you
driving
know.
in a car as opposed
heard
to
this one before.
Horse carriage. So we get to this restaurant and it's just a regular, it's typical. It's lunchtime and there's a drink, the cocktail menu, and she's going through, she's like, ooh, margaritas. And I'm like, if you want a margarita, get it. I'm like reading. I'm like, well, I don't drink margaritas at lunch. I drink coffee in there. I'm like, whatever. Like, she's like looking at it like, margaritas. I'm like, well, you should get it. And she goes, if I get a margarita, I'm going to have to get a hotel room. And I'm like, oh, you get tired. Cause I get tired when I drink. And she's like, no. And I'm like, okay, whatever. And then so it was like, it kept going on and I wasn't getting the hints. And finally she's like, listen, I need to know how this is going to work. And I need to basically test out the goods.
Right.
And if there's something
and
going
most
on.
And most women are not going to take that type
and
of
I'm like, well,
route.
But I think to her credit, to her credit or to my discredit or maybe my credit, I was being very good. I never even was like, I like your boobs. I was not doing it. It was very like, so like, do you like music? Like, what do you like to do? Oh, you like cats too? Oh my God, I love cats. It was very sweet. And then finally she's like, enough of the sweetness.
Yeah.
I want to have sex and I want to see if we're compatible that way.
Right.
And I'm like, what? Yeah. Oh, to when? And I was like, tomorrow at 3, I can have time for that.
I can have
and I was
time
like, I
that.
Didn't sleep that night. I'm like, mama. And I really did. I didn't call my mama, but I'm like, do I get a condom?
Yeah.
Like, what do I do? Because I'd gotten out of a long relationship. And she gets very embarrassed when I tell that story, so I'm sorry.
Yeah.
We better wrap
this up. But she was ready to eat you alive.
I was like, whoa.
And now as a man, and taking us back in time when this all happened.
Yeah, lucky me. I know. I get it, but right.
Very lucky for sure. And also it's I think it's a rare occurrence for a woman to be sure of herself in that.
But she's very confident and she's older than me and she knows I liked her a lot.
Right.
Like she could tell. And she was just good. She is one of the best people I know at reading people. Mm-hmm. And she just figured it out. And she's like, just cut through. Yeah, okay, shut up. Now this is what we're going to do. And I remember the experience of it, okay?
Yeah.
And she's like, and I'm like, I don't even know what I'm supposed to be doing here. And she's like, what are you doing? Like, take your clothes off. And I'm like, I'm just... Oh my God.
And so for you, were you able to link up or was it scary? Because this kind of leading can be scary.
I was falling in love with her. It's really, the reality is this.
You already were in that mode.
I was just like, it wasn't a sexual thing with her.
I love that this is completely flipped what I just said.
I know, I'm sorry.
It's basically you needed your heart open and she was like, I need to know genitally if we're a love match.
But like, I guess the point there is, and if she was here and I'm looking to see if she...
I would say the point is actually that you did the groundwork of opening her heart.
I think that's really what happened.
For however long you had been courting.
I think that's what it is.
And then she was like, I want to show you love back. But she communicated that in a very fun way because I know her very well. And
yeah,
that's how she would do it.
Sorry, babe. So I don't call her babe. I call her some other words. But they're very cute and sweet. And people are like, some people get offended for her. And she's like, no, shut up. She defends me too. We were in New York. I'm like, we were in New York and we were at some place and with some other people that we know. And I was like, I said, oh, it's over there. She was looking for something. I said, oh, it's right over there. Well, I pointed like this.
Yeah.
And somebody walked into my finger. Walked into my finger and I was like, ugh. Like I hit him in the eye and they walked into my finger. And they started
a big fuss.
She got mad, and I'm like, "Oh my god, I'm so." You know me. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Like I'll apologize, even though I know it's not. After a while, like, f off.
Yeah.
But I was like, "I'm sorry. Look, I'm really sorry. My bad. I'm sorry. I took the high road."
Uh-huh.
My wife was like this girl's like, "Ma'am, yeah." And my wife, and I was like, "Oh, it's about to be a fight," and people are in there looking like, "Ooh, this is gonna be good," because Latin girl's about to own you. And I'm like, oh my God. So sorry, deviate.
She's definitely a spicy lady. But
the point is that I guess I had done this prep work.
Yeah.
And I wasn't aware of it because my intentions were very pure to begin with.
Right.
And my intentions were.
And I love that that's kind of, you know, it's an interesting way that it came about.
And it worked.
And it still kind of fits in line with this philosophy we're spinning today.
Yeah, give older ladies a chance. Trust me. I love
that. That's what we come down to with that for sure.
Yeah.
And maybe it's just, you know,
it's focusing on
the heart opening piece of it.
Yeah. And you
slowed down to like be interested in her.
Well, it was true. It wasn't that I'm being interested in her for it means.
Well, you weren't trying to be manipulative, but did have sexual interest in her as well. So how do you judge how much of that was for what? But
right. Well, pretend, you know, we talk about this, right?
You were genuinely interested.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, pretend
it wasn't just to sleep.
It wasn't mission
this
oriented.
Trick, of course, right.
I guess if I had a mission, it was like step one, get her to laugh at all my dumb jokes. Step two, have her fall madly in love with me, where she's like, "I want to get married to you. Can we get married?" And like, can we play in the way? Can we? I was like, "Yeah," because it was that anyway. So enough of me. But having said that, right? When you're worried about the outcome and not slowing down, I think that's what we're getting at.
So. And I want to move that all the way into the bedroom. So even in the bedroom, it's the same exact factors we're talking about. You're talking right now about, you're trying to rush things or push things along or get to some goal point instead of actually enjoying the journey and the pleasure that comes with that journey. Because the reality is, we all know, and I'm sure men listening to this can attest to, you go to pornography or something like that, where you go to masturbate, for instance, and you've worked up all this tension to go do that, and you've thought about it, and you want to go do that thing, and then you go do it, and you kind of feel depleted afterward, like it wasn't exactly the ride you wanted, you know? But when you're with a real person and you're having a genuine exchange, you have this buildup that's happening, and it's beautiful, and it's just as fun, or maybe even more fun than the orgasm itself. Even if there's an orgasm as the goal, you're still having the point of wanting to do that with another person is because the whole experience prior to orgasm is also extremely fun and pleasurable.
Oh, the whole, even before you get into the touchy feely
stuff.
Yeah,
just the foreplay before the
mental,
foreplay. You know what I mean?
Foreplay.
Yeah, exactly.
That's like, and what you, that is the, it's kind of like the, oh, so you come here
for
often?
Women, that's
yeah,
it.
Like,
yeah,
yeah,
a lot of women these days call themselves like sapiosexuals, where it's about, you know, I'm in love with someone's mind and this and that. And it's really about they're getting their heart opened by having an experience with someone where they feel seen, acknowledged, and that they can be safe to open.
And let me ask you this, right? Because we're talking about this, and this just, sorry to deviate, but prostitution, real quick.
Okay,
so, you know, mission-oriented, you know, whatever it is, pay person,
yeah.
You know, does whatever, and then you feel good, and then that's the end of it. But there is there are these people, women, let's say, because there's men too, but there's in this case, there's women that will go on a trip for a week and it's more like this companionship.
So like escort.
Yeah, more escort. And it's maybe because the older guys maybe need a little more of the interaction than just like, okay, let's take our clothes off and let's hit it.
Yeah, and I mean, again, we're social beings, so we need to have some sort of exchange, you know, the relationship, even if it's paid, it's still a mutually invested relationship, right? We both are putting in something. This woman in the sense, you know, and I consider myself a sex worker because I consumerize my sexuality in the, you know, the imagery that I sell online or that I put on my free social and that, and I make money off of things that come through my social media. So for me, it's very much the same thing. I'm exchanging this work that I do, that I create, this content I create, for money sometimes, like let's say on my OnlyFans. And when it comes to a sex worker who is, we would consider what we're going to call a prostitute, where it's they're having a sexual act, that's the exchange, a physical sexual act with another person, in person, so not pornography in this case, they are saying, for these dollars, I can feel okay about making this exchange. Of course, a lot of people do it out of, you know, in ways that are not necessarily integral. But let's just consider if two people are coming to the table, they're both, you know, adult and conscious about what they're going to exchange. This man is going to exchange this money, and this woman is going to exchange her time, her energy, her interest in him, you know, time to be interested in him, and potentially her sexual body if that's part of the exchange. Sometimes these escorts could be just there to have conversation and, you know, let him vent and be a loving, listening person. I don't know. But in any case, they're making this mutual investment that they both agreed on. And it's contractual, just like a marriage is in a lot of ways, or a relationship that's conscious.
Yeah, no, I mean, and I think that gets back to if you're too worried about, you know, the end result or the destination. And everybody knows, it's been on trips more than a couple of times, that the journey is pretty fun. And the thing is like, if you're sitting there and you're interacting with this person and it's the buildup the building up the chemistry, and you're like looking at this person, you're talking to this person, you're like, you know, she just batted her eyes a certain way. And it's this whole lead up.
Sexual tension.
Yeah, and you're not worried necessarily about, am I going to get to have sex with her? Because you're just loving in the moment.
Well, in the moment. And I think this is something I study so much. It's maybe my favorite subject. And it's the idea of desire, like what desire actually is. It's the most important human experience. It's the thing that actually drives us in every facet of our lives. And when we can get really clear on desire, we realize that that is what we actually want. We think we want this end goal, this, like, for instance, like an orgasm, we want this thing at the end of the rainbow. Mm-hmm. But what we actually want is the feeling of desire, which is terrifying and very existential when you start thinking about it, because that means that you're basically sitting in the hypothetical void, and that's where you actually want to be, because you want to feel the juiciness of wanting. The juiciness of wanting is what makes life worthwhile. Already having the thing isn't even that interesting compared to the juiciness of wanting the thing.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you see that, and you know that when you were growing up, because your birthday, Christmas, oh my God, you know, and
all
it was like Santa's
up.
Coming or whatever it is, all the buildup, oh my God.
And then sometimes Christmas when night, you get the thing, you almost cry about it because it's over. The wantingness is over. It's not because you didn't like the thing or that wasn't the thing you wanted, because you probably, it was exactly the thing you wanted, but it's like,
Now,
I'm at the top of the mountain and I got to climb again, you know?
Exactly. So it's the fun in getting to the place. And the older you get and the more you think about this, the more you recognize that, you know, there's some problems, you know, with people buying too much stuff or people are addicted to that and it's about that, or people that are addicted to other things. But when, sometimes it's the understanding that the chase is the fun part.
And so I want to just broach this idea too, that I think we're touching on here, to bring it back into the bedroom of pleasure versus performance too. So like, we're so focused sometimes on our performance that we literally are putting on a performance. We're not even in the body anymore, experiencing the thing that we were there, that we believe that our performance is going to allow us to experience, right? We've lost ourselves in this act that we're doing. We're putting on an act. We're being an actor instead of being in the pleasure. And so that idea of like thinking of that dichotomy and making sure you stay in the body so that you can experience the pleasure instead of jumping into the head, where you're now only experiencing the performance to make sure you look a certain way in this angle and you do things in a certain way so that they experience it.
I do that in front of the mirror. I practice that.
So that question brings to mind, especially I'm going to ask it to you because you're the guy who is sitting here. And because you're male, I want to know that, do all sexual encounters have to end in orgasm?
I don't know. I mean, the thing is like, I don't know if the word's lucky, or I think I say lucky, but it's like, I'm really more like, it's like, I, you know, I, you want to hook up tonight? I'm like, because I'm even here, you know, it's like been a relationship so long. It's like, hey, why don't we go here tonight?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
So you're planning, you're okay. planning the intimate time, which yeah, makes sense.
Yeah, I
do.
Yeah,
totally.
I plan it because the thing is I'm a look, and I'm also
I
the
think
same.
More people should just they because really, it leads to a better outcome.
It's easy. Try it. Because if you've been in a relationship long enough where you've already hooked up, you right. know, however many times, I try it saying, hey, Thursday night.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to go here and we're going to have a little, oh, we are. Mm-hmm. And if she, cause what my, I'm, she's like, okay, see where you're going with that. Can we wait till next? Cause I got a big project. Right. Can we just wait till next Tuesday? Yeah, fine. And then, you know, then it's already there. Now that maybe that ruins a little of the romance and the mystery of it. But I'm telling you, sometimes knowing that your partner is like,
right.
yeah, next Tuesday, it's on like Donkey Kong.
That's you've now creating like, a desire factor,
I'm going
right?
to spray this cologne and I'm going to, you know what I did? This is funny. Like we talk about selfies. I never take selfies of muscular parts. But what I did, I know that. What I did, it was funny. I was at the gym. I don't like going to the gym that much, but I was at the gym and I did be funny. I like, you want to go to the gun show? Mm. And I took a picture and sent it to her and she's like, gross.
Now we're talking about your bicep, just FYI for people.
Yeah, my bicep. And she's like, that's creepy. And I'm like, what do you mean creepy? Like, what are you talking about? And, but she's like, yeah, but tonight it's on. But she didn't say it like that, but she's like, it message received.
Right.
And I'm like, ooh, that, well, yeah. And I deleted him off of my phone because I don't want to be that guy. But what, I guess what I'm saying is humor can be fun too, but you don't, you and I have talked about
so
this.
So my question, Chap, that you
avoided. I know.
And you don't have to answer
it.
But
I'm a politician.
Yeah. Is if, you know, and I want people listening to this or watching this to ask themselves as well. Both
and I'll
men
tell you
and
if
women,
I don't know. Yeah.
Both men and women. This is important, but mostly for men, because I think orgasm is so much the end game when it comes to having some sort of sexual interaction. And I just want you to imagine just for a moment, not you two, Chap, but just generally who's watching. If suddenly orgasm wasn't the end game,
mm-hmm.
what kind of
it'd still be awesome.
Does that happen? You know, what happens in your body when that becomes not the end game? And then for women listening, if orgasm wasn't the end game for yourself, what does that do? And if orgasm you knew wasn't the end game for the person you're with,
mm-hmm.
what happens when you guys get into an sexually intimate situation together? To me, that opens up this amazing place where I get to play, especially as a female, where he doesn't have a goal in mind that I have to perform to participate in.
Right.
Now it's about just enjoying and having pleasure. And I think actually orgasm flows easier for women, especially in that, because I'm not so lost in my head of thinking of how he's feeling.
Well, and I don't...
Wait, I want to add one other thing to think about. That when I've interviewed many, many men that I have about this particular concept, they've said that their most important thing in bed with a woman for them that turns them on the very most is them knowing and seeing and experiencing that she's experiencing pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
So if there's a factor in there to sit with, I think it's...
I agree with that 100%. Yeah. I think that with me anyway... there is a somewhat mission oriented, and the mission is to do this again in the future, mm-hmm. as multiple times. And so I don't think about it this way, but if the mission is to continue to do this in the future,
mm-hmm.
frequently, how do you, and again, I don't think about it this way, but now that in retrospect, this is how I think, you know, is what can I do so that she wants to continue to engage in this sexual acts.
Right.
In the future, how is she motivated in the future to do these things?
So we can keep having this love.
So one of the ways is to make sure she is pleasured. And if you're too worried about yourself and you just want to do whatever, how often is she, now she's looking at it either as work or it's caregiving, or it's like, okay, whatever. And it's not really a partnership anymore. It's you're a taker.
Mm-hmm.
And so how long is she going to really want to be interested in that? Because we're not
right,
we're in the 40s anymore.
And
whatever.
I think there's another piece of this that is about men who get into a sexual interaction and they're aroused and they're worried now about having, you know, an ejaculation. So I'm saying, of course, that's still going to come up and you're going to worry about that. And I think the next question becomes, I don't want to end up with blue balls. And this is like, I feel like an excuse that guys deviate to.
Yeah, I don't get that. I mean, we talked about that before.
Well, and it's an easy cure. If you were to work yourself up to that degree, you would just end up going and masturbating or, you know, saying, hey, I have blue balls, and you basically just need to finish, essentially. Okay. You need to ejaculate and the blue balls go away immediately. But the point here that I want to drive home is noticing that you, when you take out that goal of like orgasm and instead make the goal to experience pleasure in the body and to be an assistant in having her experience pleasure in the body, it becomes way more delicious, and then desires get met and pleasure happens. And that's so much about both parties regulating their nervous systems. And I think that happens so much easier when we take out the performance part, the goal part, and instead just be here now experiencing pleasure.
Yeah, you're breaking it down. I hear you and I agree. I just think that, like, in me, I'm not really thinking any of that. All I'm thinking is I really like this person, or I love this person, and I care about them a lot. So I want to make this interactive. I want to make this fun. I want to make this fulfilling for the whole thing. So I'm not really thinking, how do I do that, or in what fashion do I accomplish that? I'm just like, this person's awesome. I've been with this person for a period of time. Let's get it on. And if it's not fun for both of us, what was the point?
Right.
And that's the, and it just so happens to work out because there's the chemistry there, or we know each other so well, or something like that. I don't, it's been, you know, so long since I was a young man when I was a single guy, but you know, I think it's just, if you're not worried about that and you're not like point A to C to B to R or whatever, and you're just like, I really like this person, I want this to be fulfilling for both, it usually will. I mean, and if it's not, and you both know there's something going on, that's when maybe you engage with a sexual therapist or something like that. But if we're not talking about that, and we're just talking about genuinely loving that person and caring about them, really thinking they're hot all the time, and it's like, hey, you know, how you doing? You know, like that. And it's like, it just works it out. And unless she's lying her ass off to me for all these years, I mean, you know, maybe she is, but unless she's lying to me all these years, it's been going pretty well.
Right.
So I'm not perfect, definitely, but you know, and I'm like, oh, is that right? But whatever. But overall, it's like, you know, I don't know. I mean, unless, like I said, I've been lied to
right
my whole life, or that part of my life. So I keep looking at Ellie.
So I think we can send everyone away today with the information of taking this goal, you know, this high goal off the table,
yeah,
so that it
to.
Takes
the stress
pressure out of the stress and the pressure out of the connection process.
Yeah.
And that is really what, you know, so this is about being interested in somebody else. And that's part of the heart opening. And then even when it comes down to finally getting into the bedroom, it's about, again, being interested in their pleasure too, but not being completely selfless. It's also about experiencing pleasure, but when, instead of having the goal be the like overlooming overlord of the interaction.
Yeah, there's no worry about that. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, well, again, desire is what makes it all delicious. So you actually you'll feel better in the body if you stay in the body in that delicious feeling instead of trying to jump ahead.
Well, it's mindfulness.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's living in the moment. It's mindfulness.
But it's tricky. We have to rewrite a lot of what we've unfortunately written through using, you know, hyper use of pornography and things where we're just trying to get it done quick so mom doesn't walk in the room, and we'd carry that teenage boy ideal into our adult lives.
Especially somebody's mom. Don't let her walk in the room. Your mom.
Now that we're adults, I don't think that's happening,
yeah,
but
mom,
I think we still have the mindset of that happening. So we're rushing.
Probably by your mom. You're not living in your mom's house.
Oh my God. Okay. So that's enough for today, guys. I think we've you know, killed this
can
topic
we comment? Completely. We always ask for comments. Can we comment on Mercedes' flower on her head?
If you're watching.
What
this.
Kind of flower is it? Is it real? Is it not?
I believe it's an orchid. Two of them.
Are they
two
real?
Two orchids. No,
okay,
no,
whatever.
No.
Let's wrap this up.
Let's okay.
Get boring quick.
Okay. All right, y'all, you know the deal. Subscribe, comment, connect through the links below. Share this with someone as creepy and weird as us. And
she's talking about herself.
That might need to hear it or might just enjoy our strange banter. And as always, I'm reminding you that you already are.
Aloha.